Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And I'm going to do two things tonight I don't usually do. I'm going to read a very short passage of Scripture, which I rarely ever do. And I wish I could read a lot more tonight, because I've often kind of jokingly and kind of seriously too said, I read the Bible till I get up courage enough to start preaching. And I don't have much I'm going to read tonight, so I'm going to have to get courage to preach in a hurry. I remember one night I took a verse of Scripture and just started preaching on it and preached for 40 minutes. And I always read lots of Scripture, but I didn't that night. And one of the board members of this church came to me afterwards and said, you really frightened me to death tonight. He said, I thought all that 40 minutes was just visiting with us and talking to us. Then you were going to preach a full-length sermon. And I really do usually like to read a good bit of the Scripture. I'm just going to read three verses from the fourth chapter of the book of Philippians tonight. And then another thing I don't usually do, I don't know whether it sounds like it to you, but I like to study, and when I come to this pulpit, I like to feel I'm prepared. I like to develop my message, the skeleton of it, and have it in my heart and mind, and bring it after much studying and prayer over that particular message. Now, it might not sound like that to you, but that's the way I like to do. But about an hour and a half ago, the Lord, I believe, with all of my heart, laid on my mind and heart the message to speak to you about tonight. And I don't have any choice in the matter. And I have not spent the time studying and praying on this passage as I have some others. And I had a whole lap full of outlines of sermons a few hours ago this afternoon. And I looked at them and prayed. And I'm sure the Lord caused me to discard every one of them. I know some preachers that take that verse from Psalms where the Lord said, open wide thy mouth, and I will fill it. And some preachers tell me they just get up and open their mouth and ask the Lord to fill it. I'd be scared to death to try that. But I'm almost going to have to tonight because of the peculiarity of this leading of the Lord. And I'm sure God is leading to the passage that I want to bring before you tonight. And I want to speak to you on the matter of prayer tonight. And I don't think there's any greater subject that you could ever contemplate than the matter of prayer. It's prayer is taught from one end of the Bible to the other. But Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verses 5, 6, and 7, gives us one of the sweetest, most wonderful passages in the whole Bible on the subject of prayer. And not only on the matter of prayer, but this teaching on prayer is followed by one of the sweetest promises you could ever have in the Bible. And I want to read these three wonderful verses to you tonight. Philippians 4, verses 5, 6, and 7. Let your moderation, and I'm told this is a Bible word, our kindness, our tenderness. Let your kindness be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And I want to reread verses 6 and 7 because they are the burden of my message tonight. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now I believe if tonight God could call an angel out of heaven and have that angel come down here and minister to us tonight, if God could do that, I do not believe that angel could bring a ministry tonight near so wonderful as any Christian in this house could bring. Because there's nowhere in the Bible that we're taught that angels have the privilege to pray. But Christians do. And I believe the greatest of all Christian ministries is the ministry of prayer. I could give you many wonderful illustrations tonight. I'm thinking of a great evangelist that years ago would go from place to place in great union meetings. And he would preach, and the power of God was upon his preaching. And many people were saved, and great revivals broke out under his ministry. And he praised God for it, but he did not know the real reason until many years later. There was a man years before the great success of this evangelist who learned of the ministry of this evangelist, and he said, I could never be a great evangelist and I could never be a great preacher. But he said, one thing I believe I could learn to do as well as anybody in this world. I could learn to pray. And so that quiet, small man, they said, somewhere along the coaches that bring the evangelist on the train into town, he'd slip off of the train and in a little quiet hotel room somewhere, he'd spend hours and hours every day and night during the revival campaign. And he'd pray for that evangelist and pray that souls would be saved. And one day the evangelist found it out, and it literally touched his heart and broke his heart. And he weepingly sought that little man out and thanked him and loved him for praying for his ministry. I remember years ago, a dear old precious lady, up in years, well in years, down in Fort Worth, Texas, came up to me at the close of a service, and she said to me, Preacher, would you sign my Bible? And I said I would be happy to. She was an elderly lady. Her hair was white as snow. Her shoulders were bent and stooped, and she held this precious book in her hand. And she said, would you sign my Bible? And I said, I'd be happy to. And I wrote my name, Tom Malone. And under it I wrote Romans chapter 8, verse 32. A number of years went by. I cannot tell you exactly how many. But I would think another 8 or 10 years went by. Because I went to that church for 18 different years for a conference during the first week of January for 18 years every year. And about 8 or 10 years later, a dear old lady came up to me carrying this blessed book, this Word of God. And she was older now and more stooped now. And she said to me, Preacher, do you remember me? And I said, yes, I do. And she said, why do you remember me? I said to her, because one night, years ago, you asked me to sign your Bible and then said this to me. She said, Brother Malone, your name will be in my Bible with the 4 or 5 other preachers. And she said, every day of my life. As long as God lets me live, I'm going to lift your name to the throne of grace, and I'm going to pray for you. And as a dear old soul, when she came and asked me to sign her Bible, as she turned and walked away, the tears came to my eyes. And I said, thank God, there will be somebody praying for me every day of my life. I'm saying to you tonight, I believe that the greatest ministry that a Christian can have is the ministry of prayer. Now I'll tell you why. You know, some things about our ministries might be limited. For instance, I don't think any preacher could preach a perfect sermon. I don't think there's any such thing as a song that's ever sung with absolute perfection. I don't think there's anything humans do that is absolutely perfect and could not be somehow improved upon. But I want to tell you, my friend, prayer has the fewest limitations of anything that you might do. You know, when the angels came and said to Abraham, these three men from heaven, we're going to destroy the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, Abraham had a nephew in Sodom by the name of Lot. Abraham couldn't stay the hand of God. He could not keep God from doing what three heavenly messengers said was going to be done. But I read this wonderful word. Abraham stood yet before the Lord, and Abraham prayed. And I read where angels, when they went to Sodom to destroy that city, they said to Lot, we cannot do anything till you get out of this town. You know why? There's standing a man out there praying who believed that there was a living God upon the throne and believed that the promises of God are true. And Abraham prayed, and an angel said, we can't destroy this city till you get out of it. Because old godly Uncle Abraham realized the greatest ministry in the world is the ministry of intercessory prayer. You know, when you pray an intercessory prayer, you never ask God for anything for yourself. Intercessory prayer never points this way. Intercessory prayer never has to do with things. It does not ask God to supply your needs. Intercessory prayer always has to do with other people. And the greatest ministry I believe that a Christian could ever engage in is to stand between some needy soul and life and the blessed throne of grace and supplicate the Lord in the interest of that person. Now, prayer is the greatest of all ministries because it has the fewest limitations. Now, if a person's right with God, you can just pray. I've asked people over a period of years, would you come to the platform and lead us in prayer? And I've had some of the best men in the world say to me, no, please excuse me, I'm not good at praying in public. Who is? There's no such thing as being good at praying in public. You see, when we pray, we talk to God. And God hears prayer. And it doesn't make some folks pray in public to impress people. I heard a man pray one time, and he wanted everybody to know how much scripture he could quote. And I'm not critical of him. Well, I guess I am too. I'm critical of him. He wanted everybody to know how much scripture he could quote. So he told God where about a dozen verses were found if the Lord didn't know. Let me tell you, friend, prayer is talking to God. And prayer is not talking to people. Prayer is talking to God. And here's a man writes to his converts in the city of Philippi who is in prison right then. And out of that prison, there are sins toward God from a burning heart an earnest prayer. And this is what Paul said about prayer. He said in the first thing, now in relation to prayer, you know, I said prayer was the greatest ministry that there is, because prayer brings God into something. Do you know, you might do a lot of things and not get God into it. But when you pray, you bring God into what you're talking about. And Paul said, let me be careful for nothing. Now that does not mean to be careless. It means be anxious for nothing. I think this is one of the hardest things in the Bible for a person to believe. I mean, to take into your own life, I believe the Bible. One of the hardest things in the world is to be anxious for nothing. God said, don't be anxious about anything. Be anxious for nothing. I know some people that they're the happiest when they can worry the most. I actually was in a home in Toronto, Canada, years ago, and some of the most wonderful Christian people I've ever met in my life. And there's a man had a little black book about that size. And he'd get it out and look at it. And so help me, his daughter and son, who are wonderful Christians, said to me, that's Papa's worry book. I said, what do you mean? They said, well, our dad worries about everything. And he's afraid he'll forget something he ought to worry about. So he writes it down so he won't forget to worry about it. But the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. You know, if you will realize two or three things, God said, casting all your care upon Him. But if you'll realize whatever you have had come to you, God permitted it to come. Be anxious for nothing. That's what the Bible says. It does not mean to be careless. It just means don't worry about it. Let God take care of it. Lay it upon the altar of prayer and supplicate the throne of God in the matter, and let God take care of it. That's what it means. It does not mean to be careless. There was a man I knew, a wonderful man, and I loved him. And I really am not being critical of this man. But one time he said to me, I don't believe I'll ever wash my car again. I said, why? It needed it then. I said, why? He said, well, don't you believe that the Lord could come any day? I said, sure, I believe the coming of the Lord is imminent, and the Lord could come right now. He said, I just believe the Lord's coming so soon, I don't think I'll ever wash my car again. I don't think he did that car. But he's had a lot of other different cars since. That's not what it means. It doesn't mean be careless. I'm going to tell you something else. It doesn't mean that Christians are not to have a burdened heart. Paul had one. Paul said, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. I could wish myself accursed from Christ for my kinsman according to the flesh. He had a burden. But the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, for God has permitted it to come. And you know, we ought not to be anxious about anything, because God can remove it. You say, cite me an illustration. Glad you asked me to do that. Because the Apostle Paul, you know, had a thorn in the flesh. The Bible says thrice. Paul said thrice. Thrice I besought the Lord. But God never removed the thorn in the flesh. And whatever it was, when they led him outside the gates and the walls of the imperial city of Rome and chopped off his head, and he became a martyr for Christ, he went to his grave with a thorn in the flesh. But God never removed it. But one day God said to Paul, I'm not going to answer that prayer just like you prayed it. But I'm going to answer it. This is the way I'm going to answer it. My grace is sufficient for thee. And I'm going to fix it, though you'll still have the thorn. But you'll have the grace in order to bear it and to trust God and to be a happy Christian. And I want to tell you, friend, I believe you can pray over anything in the world. I think of a lady one time went to her doctor and she said, "Now this boy I have, a little old, you know, energetic boy," she said, "this boy is wearing me out." She said, "I don't know what to do with this child. Can you give me any help?" She said, the doctor. Doctor said, "Sure, I can give you some tranquilizers. I can't change the boy, but I can do something for you. I'll give you some tranquilizers." So he gave her a bottle full of tranquilizers, and she took them every few hours. And one day, the doctor was walking down the street toward his office, and he met this lady. And he said to her, "How's the boy?" She said, "What boy? I don't know what boy you're talking about. What I'm saying is, God can change you when you pray. And the thing may still be there. But God said, my grace is sufficient for thee." So Paul said, be careful for nothing. Oh, how well I remember. I don't refer to it often. I've referred to it this morning. I remember when the doctor came and told me that little Sylvia Elaine Malone was born seriously ill. And I never prayed as much in my life about anything as I did during the 31, 32 days that little girl lived. And I prayed that God would heal her. And I told God I believed he was able. And I still believe God can do anything in the world. God is unlimited. God's a miracle-working God. And I believe God can do anything. And I remember that Saturday morning, my office was then up here where Brother Fortner's office is now. And my heart was burdened. And I got down on my knees and I said, "Lord, I want your will. And if you're not going to heal this little baby, I just want you to give me the peace of God in my life about it." And while I was kneeling and I had my hands up on my desk and I was kneeling in prayer and praying about little Sylvia Lane, never got to hold her. I only got to see her looking through the plate glass. And while I was down on my knees praying, the phone rang. And a nurse said, "Is this Reverend Malone?" "Yes, it is." I'm still on my knees. And I reached up and took the phone, put it to my ear. And I said, "Yes, this is Tom Malone." She said, "You must come at once to the hospital." And when I went to the hospital, I went to the little room where the little girl had been kept since the moment she was born. And the nurse met me and said, "Your little girl has just passed away." And I want to tell you something tonight, and you may not believe this. I've never had any more of the peace of God in my life than I had then. Because 10 minutes before, on my knees, I said, "Lord, I want you to do as you will with this situation. For your way is always the best way." You know, God said, be anxious for nothing. God permits it in the first place. God can remove it if he wants to. And if he can't remove it, God can change our whole attitude about it. And God can make us reconcile so we can live with it without anxiety. And that's what this wonderful scripture teaches. Now notice something. First of all, God said, worry about nothing. You think about who said that and where they were. Some of you here tonight have been to the Mamertine prison in Rome. It's not a pretty place now. It's been all cleaned up and fixed so tourists can go, but you go down the steps And when I last time I was there, the little bulb about that big that lighted the steps so people could go. And over there are some pieces of iron into the wall, mortared into the wall where prisoners were chained. There was a large circular stone that covered the opening that if the stone is removed, a body could be disposed of into the water and flow on out under the Mamertine prison. And one day in that prison, somehow or another, maybe through that little light that came from above, because that's where light always comes from, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Philippi and said, "Be anxious for nothing." And the man who wrote it is sentenced to die, and he's in a prison cell. And don't tell me tonight God can't take the anxiety out of a Christian's heart. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. You know, the Lord tells us to pray about everything. I have a preacher friend. Some members of my family know him. Now, you get in his car, he fastens the seat belts, and that's before there was a law to fasten them. And then he'd say, "Let's pray for a safe journey." And I mean, you've never heard a prayer for a safe journey till you hear this preacher. I mean, he bombards the throne of grace. And I mean, he takes several minutes and you wonder, are we going to ever get started? But he's never been hurt. God answers prayer. He prays about everything. I've prayed about to other folks be the silliest things in the world. I lost years ago my only pair of glasses. I have several pair now. But I lost my only pair of glasses. I couldn't see to read fine print. Now, if I'm not real tired, I could take these glasses off and read this print. But I couldn't read fine print. And I was without my glasses several days. And I sit at my desk one day, and I said, "I don't think I'll ever find them unless I pray. And I'm going to ask God to show me where my glasses are." And I talked to the Lord like this. I was reverent with the Lord, but I wanted my glasses bad. And I was kind of aggravated. I'd had to do without them for about 2 or 3 days. And I said, "Now, Lord, you're omniscient. You know right now just exactly where those glasses are. And not only that, you know I don't know where in the world they are. Now, Lord, don't hold out on me. I want my glasses." Now, the Lord didn't speak out loud to me, never has. If he ever does, you'll see one of the scaredest preachers you've ever seen in your life. And he speaks out loud to me just as often as he does Oral Roberts or anybody else, which is never. But the Lord didn't speak out loud to me, but the Lord in my heart said, "Well, pull that drawer open right there." I was sitting at my desk and kind of fussing at the Lord. I said, "You know where they are, and you know I don't know. And I've been groping and looking and worried my mind about this. I want my glasses." And it seemed like the Lord said, "Pull that drawer out." And I pulled the drawer out, and there were my glasses right there. Now, who in his right mind would put their glasses in a desk drawer? But that's where they were. And they would have been there tonight, I think, had I not one day said, "God, you're omniscient. You know where they are." And that's what Paul's talking about. Pray about everything. Everything. Prayer should be the Christian's breath that ever ascends to the throne of grace, praying about everything. Pray about your needs, yes. Pray for wisdom, yes. Pray for the unknown. If you don't know something, like in that case, I didn't know where they were. Pray for the unknown. God will make it known to you. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Now watch this. With thanksgiving. I want to tell you something. If you try this sometime, it'll help you. Sometime You just take that verse, everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, and then just stop and say, now, Lord, I want to just thank you for some things. And just thank him. I thanked him today that I wasn't crippled. I thanked him today that I wasn't in the hospital. I'm no better than anybody else. I could be there. I thanked the Lord today I wasn't in jail. You say, well, that sounds kind of funny. No, there are preachers in jail. I just thanked the Lord I wasn't in jail. I'd a lot rather be here than in jail. Believe it or not, I'd rather be here with you folks than in any jail I ever saw in my life. I just thanked the Lord today I wasn't in jail. I thanked him that I was saved. And I got to thinking about 50 years ago last August, the most remote place in the world, the Lord came and sought me and found me and saved me and changed me and set me on my way telling the story. I thanked him for it. I'll tell you, I'm about as close to shouting right now as I've ever been. And that's not very close because I never have shouted in public. I have in private lots of times. But I tell you right now, I thank God I'm saved. And listen, friend, don't ever take it lightly that the Lord has saved you. And there's something you can thank God for tonight. So Paul said, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And now I'm going to close. And here's a promise attached to it. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now listen to it. You're going to need it. The peace of God. When I got saved and trusted the Lord Jesus, I came into possession of peace with God. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so on the cross, God bought for me through the blood of his Son peace with God. But there's something beyond that. There's a peace that passeth all understanding. Like the lady in Fort Worth, Texas years ago, whose only child, 12-year-old boy, had just died. And Dr. George W. Truett went to the home. There was the mother and father. Mother saved, father lost. An only child, 12-year-old boy, dead. The mother had been ill and had gone through great illness. And the preacher said, well, we're going to have prayer. And we're going to ask the Lord to sustain you precious people in this hour of sorrow in your life. And the little frail woman who was a Christian member of the First Baptist Church said, preacher, my heart's broken because I've lost my boy. And I appreciate your prayers for me, but I have a peace from God that passeth understanding. But he doesn't have it. Would you pray that God would save my husband? That's what I want you to pray for. Because she said, God's given me a peace that passeth all understanding. You know, the Lord Jesus, before he left this world, said, peace I leave with you. That's peace with God bought with his blood at the cross. Now watch this. My peace. Think of it. Jesus saying, my peace give I unto you. That's what Paul's talking about. Now Jesus had peace. He had peace in a bloody garden. He had peace all the time. He had peace when he's hitched to the scourger's post. He had peace when they nailed him on the cross. And when he died, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And my Lord said, now peace I leave with you. That's the peace of the cross. But my peace, the peace that sustained the Lord all through this life, that peace I give unto you. Maybe God's leading us tonight to focus in on this wonderful passage of Scripture. Be anxious for nothing. Nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth understanding. I remember the first family I ever baptized in Pontiac. His name was Ballard. He was a barber. Lovely family. They had, I believe, if I remember correctly, the oldest was a boy. He later went in the ministry. Had two girls, and one of them was, the youngest was a little girl. She'd always sit on the front seat, and her name was Donna. And she was just as beautiful a little child as I believe God ever put in this world. And she loved music, and she loved to sing. And this family was my first converts, and I baptized this family, not in this church, first converts I ever had, City of Pontiac. I baptized them in the Marymount Baptist Church. One day that man called me and said, "You'll be shocked to know, little Donna'd sit on the front and she loved music. She'd open her little mouth and let it fly. And everybody loved to see Donna enjoy herself singing." And her dad called me and he said, "You'll be shocked to know that the Lord has suddenly taken little Donna." And oh, that broke all our hearts. And I prayed for that family. And the day of the funeral, there was a bank of flowers in that church auditorium all around. It must have taken several truck loads to bring the flowers. And I said, "These are new converts. How will they do?" And I can see them right now as I saw them then. I saw them come in the church, and the dad led the way, and he stood as straight as a fence rail, and he walked, and his dear wife followed along behind him, and the oldest boy and the next girl. And they looked at their friends and smiled, and they sat down and they listened to the message, and they went on their way, and they've been serving God ever since. Let me tell you, friend, this Bible says God can give you peace that passeth all understanding, and it'll keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let us pray. My Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight. You know every heart that needs this wonderful passage on prayer. And I know my heart needs it. And I pray thou will apply it to our hearts tonight. How blessed and happy it is that we can commit things to thee and be anxious for nothing. And we ask you tonight, dear Lord, if there's a Christian in this house that has not the peace that passeth understanding, that'll keep their hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, may that peace be given to them right now. And Lord, help us to pray. So much to pray about, so little time left, we feel, until we'll all be on the other side and the Lord shall come. Oh, help us to spend time in prayer. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Now keep your heads bowed and eyes closed, and you pray. Let me ask you tonight, is there someone, maybe a lost person, someone, maybe lost, maybe some other condition, is there someone you have on your heart tonight? And you're asking God to undertake. I mentioned two men that I want to see saved in the men's prayer meeting tonight. They're on my heart. I wonder how many tonight with the uplifted hand will just say to God, "I have someone." I'm not talking about things now. "I have someone on my heart I'm praying for." Would you lift your hand? And let's just let the Lord see. God bless you. God bless you. You may take them down. Now believe what God has said. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. The peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Oh, Father, tonight, I pray you'll bless thy holy word to our hearts. And Lord, may we believe it, and not only believe it, but make it a part of our lives. And that we know this is not easy. We know that. We know it's not easy. But it's possible, or you wouldn't have said it in your word. So we're going to trust you. Make it a reality in our lives this night. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.